Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country. I'm broadcasting live right now from the flagship studios at TalkingAlternative.com, West 72nd Street, not East 72nd. We're Westsiders over here. And I'm in the studio here today with the lovely Janice and my good friend and owner and confidant, spiritual leader, all around good guy. And so long trip. Last week I had to do the show from the home studio, which didn't work out as well as I had hoped it would. I ended up recording this show, and it ended up being a mono. And so my show was one-dimensional last week, although I tried to bring a lot of depth to the show. But in any event, it's been a wild couple of weeks here where I've been on the road, left here, and had to go all the way down to Georgia. I turned around when I was in Georgia, headed all the way up to Albany, New York, only to spend the night and take a train all the way to Newark. And so I've been on this massive road trip. It's been planes, trains, and automobiles. Actually, literally planes, trains, and automobiles, because I flew to Chicago. I spent the weekend in the Midwest, right? So I fly out to the Midwest. I'm coming back, and I was supposed to take the train. I was originating. My train was supposed to take me first to Chicago, and then it was going to take me from Chicago to my parents' place up in Albany. Well, the first segment of my train ride ended up getting canceled. I got like this notification that, this leg of the journey has been canceled, and, we can make arrangements for you with Greyhound or whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try the Mega Bus. And I've heard some, decent things. I had actually told myself years ago that I'm never taking the Hound again. You get to a certain point in life and you're like, you know what? I'm done getting packed in like veal on a bus and going somewhere. Matter of fact, my last road trip on a bus was with my best friend, Rob, who's my travel partner on half of the stories that I tell, right? We took the bus one time. This was literally, except for my coaching career, the last time that I took the Greyhound. It was 1997, right? And it was here in New York City. So we go down and we're like, hey, let's take the bus down to Myrtle Beach. How bad could it be, right? So we get on at 42nd Street. We go to the Port Authority. That's how little I take the bus. I don't even know what it's called, right? So we go to the Port Authority. We get on there and it's like, it's not bad. We're one of the first people on. So he and I, we corral the three-seater in the back, right? The only problem with the three-seater in the back, it's right by the bathroom. Oh, sweet Jesus. So we bring a couple of bottles of booze because we're like, hey, we got like 24 hours on this thing, right? We didn't realize we had to change buses. I don't even remember if it was D.C. or if it was Philly or where we changed buses. But when we changed buses onto a bus that already had people on it. You get onto a plane and there's already people there. You're like, wow, okay, so this came from somewhere. So we get on this bus, man, and of course we'd been drinking for like 6 hours before we get there. And then next thing you know, we were just packed in like veal. I'm crammed into this seat. I don't even get the luxury of the window. I'm just sitting. It's the middle of the night. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're just like, oh my god. And then of course, inevitably, every bus, somebody walks on with a white styrofoam takeout thing of something that smells horrific. Every bus ride, there's that one person. It's like, you couldn't have eaten that in the terminal, right? Yeah, I saw you sitting there half an hour. You were just waiting for that thing to come on, right? And inevitably, what it is some version of tuna or cod or something, man. Let's pick the worst smelling thing in the entire place, and let's bring that on the bus after about an hour of festering, right? Oh God! So we took it all the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And as a matter of fact, it was such a horrific ride. We promised each other, we're like, dude, never taking it again, man. Now, because you stop in every little hobunk town all along the way, right? We flew back, dude. We flew back, man. I took a one-way ticket. Took the hit. Flew back. Couldn't stand it. So anyway. fast forward to now. I got to get to Chicago so I get to, so I can get to Union Station to the, to pick up my train from the leg that I was joining that train on, right? Dude, the mega bus, man. I'm telling you, it's the way to go. Okay, so like, first of all, it's dirt cheap. Secondly, it only stops in major cities. So, you know, you're not stopping in every town. You're literally stopping just in major, you know, major cities. So it's just on the highway. The other thing, and I don't understand why everybody on this bus didn't do this, right? For an extra $5, you can reserve your seat. It's only an extra $5. Now, there's, those buses are double-decker buses, right? And this is going to read like an advertisement for Megabus. Maybe I should contact them, right? Charge them for this advertisement right now. But I'm telling you, man, it's a double-decker. The first four seats are in the front, are in that giant window, you know? And there's really nobody behind you because the stairwell is behind you. Those seats are bigger. There's space between them, and they recline. They also have a power strip so you can plug things in. And they got Wi-Fi, right? So it was $5 to reserve the seat, so I reserved the seat. As it turns out, nobody had reserved the seat next to me, so the entire, that entire portion, which was like a 6-hour ride, you know what I mean? I was fine. It was like, it was almost like taking the train, you know what I mean? I was able to recline, put my feet up, you know, they didn't stop every 2 minutes, you know what I mean? I mean, it was great. So, it only cost me, it was an 8-hour ride, cost me $35. Dude, you can't beat that, man. So Megabus, kudos, right? Good luck taking down the giant, the elephant in the room, Greyhound. You know what I mean? I'm all for it. I just give him a plug right there. But anyway, I guess I should get to the show. This segment, speaking of transportation, is sponsored by S&G Limousine. Write this number down, 516-771-LIMO. Get a pen, write it down. 516-771-LIMO. Safe, reliable, affordable black car, a limo, or SUV, airport service to or from any major airport in the United States. Corporate travel or personal, 516-771-LIMO. They're sponsoring this and a proud sponsor of Coffee Talk 3.0. On today's episode here, we're going to be talking about, I actually am on national television this week. I don't know if I told you guys this. So I filmed an episode of the show True Crimes with Aphrodite Jones, which is on Discovery ID channel. And I filmed, actually, it was filmed last April. And it airs for the first time. Of course, you know, once it airs, it airs, you know, several nights in a row. But it airs for the first time this week, tonight, which, you know, is, as we're taping the show here, is April 20th. And so tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time on Discovery ID. And I play the main character. I play a guy by the name of Carl Carlson. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. And I'm also going to be talking about current events. This week we're going to be talking about ESPN's suspended reporter, Brittany McHenry, and my feelings on the situation. I don't know if you guys saw that on the news, but she blew up, had her car towed. She blew up on the woman that was working at the towing place on camera, and she ended up getting suspended for a week for the things that she had said to this woman. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. Also going to be talking about, if we have time, I'm going to be talking about my take on the $15 minimum wage thing. That's been a big discussion lately. Of course, I have an opinion about that. And also, going to finish my story. Okay, so I just told a road trip story, but I only told a portion of that story. I'm going to save that story because that is one of my best road trips of all time. But, and as I said, my partner in crime in half of my road trips is my buddy Rob Warren. And I started to tell last week the road trip where we moved back in 1997 from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to New York City. Epic, colossal dude road trip, okay? I mean, I started telling the story. I'm going to give a little brief recap of what I talked about last week. I'm going to finish the story. I didn't get a chance to finish the story because this needs all the time and emotion and bravado that it deserves, okay? It needs all the embellishment that I can throw onto this thing. The sprinkles on top of my stories. It's wonderful. And so it was an epic, epic road trip, which landed me in New York City. So I'm going to be talking about that. But right now, and we only have a few minutes, we're going to commercial break anyway because I just wasted that entire section. but you know, I'll start talking about what I was going to talk about is the show tonight. And very interesting. You know, one of the things that I love about being in the, you know, co-starring in these kind of crime reenactment, crime drama shows is you learn all about the show. You learn all about the situation, the case, you know. Because, I mean, you're playing the person that, but with me, I don't, for whatever reason, okay, when it comes to these crime shows, only one time, now this is like the fifth different national television co-starring thing that I've had. I've done four on Discovery ID Channel. I did one on A&E, okay? Of the five, and this is only in the last, man, I want to say about the last 16 months, I've been in five, okay? Of the five, only one was I cast as a good guy. I don't know what that says about me, man. But it's funny because, like, my nieces and nephew, you know, they came in here and they were and everybody that I've ever coached, they always talk about the crazy eyes. You know, it's Uncle Kevin and his crazy eyes, man. When he breaks out the crazy eyes, man, you know you're in trouble. And I just have these real, and this is probably part of why I've been able to kind of just insert myself into the world of acting. I have a very expressive face, and I have very expressive eyes, you know. And so, like, when I open up my eyes wide, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm not talking Don Knotts wide, right, or Soupy Sales wide, but I've just got like this really expressive face, and when it comes to giving the scary look, man, well, I can throw the scary look down, yeah. So I end up getting cast in all these shows as the bad guy, as the dude that ends up murdering his wife every single time. I'm the dude that murders his wife, and no exception with tonight's show. Okay, Two Crimes with Aphrodite Jones. And it's on Discovery ID Channel. Now, we'll talk about it here when we come back from the commercial break. But I play a guy named Carl Carlson, murdered his own son, murdered his own blood for the insurance money, murdered his ex, his first wife, and basically it was his new wife, the stepmom of the son that he had killed, that was the one that ended up solving the whole thing. And we're going to talk about it here in just a little bit. So I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on Talk Radio Network and Coffee and TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbaro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com. With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbaro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports by calling 516-771-LIMO. You can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO. 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on Talk Radio Networks and our flagship studio here at TalkingAlternative.com. This segment is sponsored by A Place for Mom. Are you or someone you love in need of senior living care? Visit A Place for Mom and let the nation's largest referral company, help you. That's A Place for Mom at 800-274-6144. 800-274-6144, A Place for Mom. And they are a proud affiliate of Coffee Talk 3.0. So, it's talking about the show that I co-star in on True Crimes, Aphrodite Jones on Discovery ID Channel. As I was saying, one of the cool things about being on these shows that I've been on, even though I've typically been cast as the bad guy on these shows, is you end up learning all about the case. Well, this was very interesting, okay, because what happened was this was actually filmed. You know, a lot of times, you know, these crime reenactments aren't actually filmed where they happened. You know, the very first one I was in on Discovery ID, I played a guy named John Raz, who was from California. And the deal with him was he was like a retired police officer who became like a kindergarten or first grade teacher. He married a much younger Asian woman. He was a Caucasian guy, and they had a couple of kids. Anyway, she went missing in like 1990, I want to say like 1991, something like this. Basically pre-cell phone age, pre-internet age, okay? No, there wasn't email, things like this, right? She disappeared. He ends up getting convicted years later of first-degree murder of his wife, and they never found the body, and was actually the first capital murder conviction in California state history with no body. To this day, they've never found the body, okay? So that was a really interesting thing. Well, anyway, that whole case took place in California. Of course, we filmed it here in New York City, okay? This particular show, the one that on the true crimes, we actually went to the town and to the area where this dude lived, okay, which was really unique and was actually a little bit weird. You know, like, I actually met the police officer that arrested him, and I actually went to the jail where he was incarcerated, awaiting trial and et cetera, okay, which was in Seneca County, New York, up in the Finger Lakes, okay? And then on top of that, we ended up meeting all these different people, well, particularly police officers, okay? But as we were doing the production itself, we filmed on a farm, and these people that own this farm, we weren't allowed to tell them why we were there, because this all only happened just a couple of years ago. So this was kind of like fresh in people's minds still. And the production company, which is an affiliate of NBC, is what actually filmed this, right? They didn't want to ruffle any feathers in the community, so we really weren't allowed to. So we just said, well, you know, we're doing a crime show and et cetera, but we didn't tell them what the name. It's Untitled, you know, et cetera, which all happens a lot anyway, you know. And being in the community, it was like it was kind of weird because we weren't allowed to talk to him, because it was actually like the dude is out there. This guy Carl Carlson's his name, and you can Google him right now, and you can see what the kind of the scoop is about him. And actually, I watch Discovery ID and I watch Forensic Files and all these shows all the time. And more often than not, I'll get on my phone and I'll Google, because I'm so curious about like the case. You know what I mean? And with this guy, what happened was he had a wife that had passed away like 20 years ago. She died in a fire, and he saved his two kids. Okay. Fast forward, he ends up killing his son for the insurance money. And his new wife, okay, she's suspicious of the whole thing, and she hires a private investigator, and then they involve the police, and as it turns out, he had killed his son. That was the thing. So then they started wondering, I wonder if he killed his ex-wife years ago, because they had like $1 million insurance policy, okay? And they were just farmers, you know? And so they went back and investigate the fire, and when they go back to investigate the fire, they realized that the house had caught fire while she was in the bathroom, and the door was locked, and she couldn't get out, and the window had been nailed shut with plywood. And you look back. Well, of course, it was like 20 years ago in present time. So you're talking about the 1990s. Forensics maybe weren't what they are now. And I guess that maybe there wasn't any reason to really think that the guy had done it, because he had actually gone into the fire to save the two kids, and then just said, "Well, I couldn't go back in; it was too hot," or whatever. So because people were so emotionally focused on the fact that he was a hero and he saved these kids. Well, one of the two kids that he saves, he ends up murdering only a few years ago. And what ended up happening was he asked his son, son was kind of like a little rebellious, kind of a gothy type of kid, but, no different than, most teenage kids, or young adults, I should say. He was a young adult. He was married. But he was very young. He was like only in his early 20s. And what happened was, this guy, Carl, he convinces his son that he's the only one that his son can trust. And so he convinces his son to take a life insurance policy out and to make him as the main benefactor, okay? Not his wife. And it's an insurance policy for like a ridiculous amount of money. The kid's got no job, okay? But he takes out a $500,000 insurance policy on himself and names his dad as the benefactor. And then he ends up dying in this mysterious accident the next day. The next day. The dude couldn't even wait a week before he whacked his own son, right? And what he did was they lived on this farm up in Seneca County, okay? And he convinced his son to help him fix his truck. So he goes in, and the truck is up on pegs. Okay, so basically what happened was the dad removes both of the front tires, jacks up this truck. It's an old late model truck. Okay, older truck, and not a late model. It was an older truck. Okay, jacks it up, takes both wheels off, tells his son that he can't quite get this one bolt off from underneath. The son goes underneath of it, bam, kicks the jack out. He had an old-fashioned jack, the ones that you kind of crank up. And because the front wheels were off, the entire thing comes slamming down, okay? And it crushes the son. But he didn't die right away. It was a horrific thing. So the dad and the stepmom, they leave to go to a funeral, ironically, okay? They come back, and when they go out to the dad goes into the garage. When they were leaving, they could hear music playing really loud, and they thought that the son was just playing his music loud and he was working on the truck or whatever. They come back, music's still playing really loud. Dad goes out there, comes running back, call 911. He's all freaking out, and 911 comes, and the stepwife goes out. The new wife goes out there, the stepmom. And, he's dead, But it started unraveling, because it was like the music that was playing on the radio really loud. And, of course, he had turned the music up really loud to mask the screams of his son, right? So that his new wife couldn't hear. It was a country music station. And so that was one thing that the wife was like, found very odd. Was the fact that it was country music, because his son is like a goth kid and he hates country music. Why would he be blaring country music while he's fixing this truck, And so that was where it started, it started going. So that anyway, they start digging deeper into this dude's life, right? And I'm just fascinated by the whole story. I'm playing this guy, right? But I'm fascinated by the story. And we go to the jail where he was incarcerated, where they first took him and they held him while he was awaiting trial before he goes to prison, okay? And I meet the real police officer that arrested him. And we start talking about the whole case, you know, and things like this. What happened was this dude had these get-rich-quick schemes. Well, of course, one of his get-rich-quick schemes is whacking his family members so he can get the insurance policy. But aside from that, his stab at, like, a legitimate business ventures was that he decided he wanted to have a duck farm, okay? He was going to raise farm-raised ducks, and he was going to sell them through a middleman, through a distributor, to high-end restaurants in New York City for, the multitude of restaurants in New York City you can get roast duck at, right? Well, those ducks got to come from somewhere, and of course, those ducks have to be farm-raised. So he decides, well, we're going to have a duck farm. So he had like 2,000 ducks at any one particular time on this farm, and the son was helping work the farm, the family was working this farm, right? Well, he gets greedy, okay? He gets greedy, and he basically ends up telling the middleman, the distributor, you know what? I'm tired of giving you X amount of percentage for this, so I'm just going to deal with the restaurants myself. So he goes down to New York. He comes down here to New York into these different restaurants that they were selling these ducks to, right? And he's such an abrasive guy. And you know, you're talking about high-end restaurants that are run by high-end individuals. And the middleman is kind of a high-end kind of guy. The dude running the farm, not so high-end, okay? And so they don't like him. So they start canceling the orders, right? One by one. So literally, all of a sudden, his entire duck business goes belly up. So what does he do? You can't even make this up. This is stranger than fiction, right? Over the course of a week, no exaggeration, over the course of the week, every night he's so upset and PO'd that his business is going belly up, he goes out to the farm, gets drunk for a week straight, and when he goes out, he kills all the ducks, okay? But he doesn't just kill them, right? You can't even make this up. One by one, he meticulously breaks the neck of every duck on this farm. 2,000 ducks that he killed with his own hands. So the police get word of this, coupled with the fact that, like, why are both tires off the front of this truck? Why is there country music blaring? Things start piecing themselves together pretty quickly, and this dude's entire scheme of essentially killing everything that gets in his way starts unraveling. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. A of all, you got to watch the episode, okay? But even more so, Google it, because I'm telling you, man, your mind is going to be blown. I'm going to be back in a minute. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute, because there's a couple other things I thought were really cool about the thing. And then I'm also going to talk about the whole Brittany McHenry thing with ESPN. And I'm going to wrap up and finish up my story about the road trip to New York City in 1997. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Kevin Barbro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0. Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's 3 visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com. Welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country. And this segment is sponsored by Life Alert. If you or someone you love needs the security and confidence that comes from knowing help will always be on the way in the unfortunate event of an emergency, then call Life Alert for a no-obligation pamphlet, 800-580-1113, 800-580-1113. They're a proud affiliate of Coffee Talk 3.0. So wrapping up about Carl Carlson and the murder trial in Seneca County. Now, what was very interesting to me, besides all of what I just went through, with the whole murdering the ducks one by one and all this kind of stuff, we were at the prison. Well, we were at the jail, I should say. It's a county jail is where you go first until you're convicted, then you go to prison. And while we were there, it was kind of interesting because the chief of police, the sheriff of the county knew that we were there. The police officer, the sheriff's deputy that arrested the guy, most of the people there knew that we were there. I think everybody there knew that we were filming something there. You know what I mean? But what happened was, I actually look fairly close to what the guy looked like. Okay, now when you see him on TV, you know, you see like a rough, you know, mugshot of the guy. But, you know, I did see other photos of him, and I kind of look like maybe a younger version of him. Okay. And we kind of did my hair kind of like the guy had his hair. So I get there to the jail, and we're going to film the part of the kind of reenactment where he's being led through the jail in the jumpsuit, you know. So I'm sitting there. We're in like the holding area, you know, because we're kind of out of the way, you know, so we're not interfering with the police work that's going on in this place. And I've got this orange jumpsuit on. Okay. Well, I got to go to the bathroom, right? I'm not even thinking about the fact that I'm in the jumpsuit. And so I just go walking out into the hallway, you know, and walk by this police officer. And he's like, he gives me like this look, and I'm, hey, what's up? You know, I walk in, I go back to the bathroom. And as I open the door back up, the police officer's like, he puts his hand on my chest. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I had to go to the bathroom. He's like, who are you? And I realized I got the jump. I was like, oh, yeah. No, I'm playing Carl Carlson. He's like, you need to, you don't go walking around willy-nilly through the hallways of some county jail wearing a jail jump, that jail's jumpsuit. You know what I mean? You want to get shot pretty quick, man. That's a way to do it, right? And so, all right, duly noted, right? So I confined myself to the one area. And then the other thing that was kind of cool, and actually this particular experience while I was there actually has found its way into Green Mountain Boys, okay? While I was there, a police officer came in. He had his police dog with him. Massive German Shepherd. I mean, just unbelievable. You know, huge. I mean, like 100 pounds, and had like catcher's mitt for hands. You know what I mean? Friendliest dog. I mean, just, you know, you don't want to run into on the wrong side of the law with this thing, right? But I ended up having this conversation with this police officer that was the partner to the canine, and he was kind of giving me like the if we were just having a conversation about the dogs themselves. I didn't realize this, but canines. Police dogs, the German Shepherds, they're not bred here in the U.S. Apparently, there's so much crossbreeding and inbreeding in the German Shepherd breed in the United States that it's actually altered the breed itself. And what may be still technically a purebred German Shepherd will have too much in its bloodline heading backwards of other types of dogs and whatnot. So they don't use German Shepherds here in the United States. The German Shepherds actually come from Germany, okay, and Czechoslovakia. That's where this particular dog came from. And because the European ones, they keep the bloodlines, you know, nothing taints the bloodlines, and that's where they go to get military dogs and police dogs is over there. Well, this particular dog only speaks Czechoslovakian. Which I found really interesting. It doesn't speak English, and it's that person's pet also, you know what I mean? And or that, you know, that police officer's pet at home. And he was telling me, I said, well, what if I just happen to know Czech, you know, and I'm running, and I start, and I just turn around and I face off against this thing, and I bark at it the Czechoslovakian word for stop or sit or whatever. He's like, no, it's going to tear you apart. He said, you can speak all the Czechoslovakian you want, man. When he hones himself in on you, you're done, okay? And so anyway, it actually inspired me with my book, you know, the novel and the movie that I've written, you know, Green Mountain Boys, and the main character has a police dog. And it's actually modeled after this police dog that I met. That's kind of the inspiration for that dog, you know what I mean? So very cool, very interesting. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, so with our current events topic, you know, every week we try to cover some kind of current events topic as it pertains to either the world of journalism or acting or, you know, some sort of connection to my life or my profession, my career. And we're talking about the fact that the ESPN reporter, Brittany McHenry, who, A of all, gorgeous, okay? So anyway, what happened last week, unless you live in, if you live in a cave and you don't know what happened with her, what happened with her was her car gets towed, okay? She's at the towing company the next day paying the fines for getting her car, so she can get her car back, okay? While she's having, while she's there, she's engaging in like this, almost like this argument with the woman who works there. And what ends up happening, she ends up getting suspended from ESPN for a week because of this. She starts berating this woman on the other side of the glass. You know, like ridiculous. Like, you know, it's one thing. You know, I've had my car towed before. I've explained on here, my car slash house, it's been towed before. My fault every time. Clearly her fault for leaving it in a place that was going to get towed, okay? And but you know it's upsetting. You go there and you know it's one, you know, it's one of these things where you know you're not having a good day. Okay, I get that. All right, and I've even been like you know I can't believe you guys you know towed me again or something along these lines. I've had these conversations, but this woman took it up a notch. Okay. She starts telling the woman like, well, you know, that's why I have a degree and that's why I'm on TV and you're just trailer trash and all this kind of stuff. And the woman behind the counter says, you know, I'm taping you. You know, you know, you're on camera. So this woman, Brittany McHenry, she looks up. You know, when you're watching the surveillance video, they say, she looks up. She looks right into the camera and she keeps on going. You know what I mean? She keeps berating this woman, telling her she needs to lose weight. I mean, she's bullying this lady. I mean, that's really what's going on. Shaming her about her looks. So Brittany McHenry says something like along the lines of, well, maybe if I only had a few teeth, then I can get a job here too. I mean, just really brutal, you know, not nice. Okay. And now she's like model beautiful, you know what I mean? And et cetera. So anyway, you know, so the towing company, they send it to the news station. They're like, hey, this is, guess what happened to us today, right? And it blows up on the internet, right? And she ends up getting suspended for a week. So, but then a couple of people come out to kind of try to defend her, which I'm stunned by, okay? One of the people that comes out to try to defend her, I'm going to pull this dude's name up on my phone real quick. I may have to edit this little tiny little section out here. Not naming his name, but the fact that I got to look at it real quick. So anyway, this dude writes for the New York Post, and I saw him on Twitter, okay? And I had to... Kyle Smith. Well, that's about as easy as a name as you can get. So this guy, Kyle Smith, he writes for the New York Post. So he puts a post up on the internet, kind of a young guy, and where he's saying, well, we don't know the whole story, you know, and ESPN is, his opinion was ESPN is wrong. He comes out and says ESPN is wrong for suspending her because we don't know the whole story and et cetera, et cetera. So the thesis of this guy's article, so I end up tweeting at this guy, okay, which I tend to do sometimes, okay. My first tweet to him was like, dude, here's the deal, man. You still got no chance with her. Okay. I mean, chivalry aside, okay, you still got no chance, bro. But on top of that, he was like, you know, the thesis of his article was basically, We don't know what the woman was saying, which, okay, I'll give you that. We don't know what the woman's saying. But what could she possibly be saying that's going to justify her saying that to her, all these horrible things to her, right? But the other thing he's like, well, you know, if you go to their Yelp or their Better Business Bureau ratings, you know, they're really low, you know, and so this place is known for like not being a very good business, which also, Aval, doesn't justify her and her actions, of course. Yeah, they may be bad business people, but you don't. And the other thing is, too, let's be honest, they're a towing company. I mean, how many good reviews you really think are going to be popping up on Yelp and the Better Business Bureau and Angie's List for this towing company when their entire business is... It's not like somebody's like, oh, you know, I had a really great experience with them. They were only going to charge me $250, but I gave them $300. Yeah, because they were so pleasant behind the counter. They just towed your car, bro. I mean, no one's going to have anything nice to say about this place. You know what I mean? So none of that justifies what she said. You know what I mean? And I kind of wrapped up my whole discussion, with the guy. The other thing he said was, you know, ESPN should know better because they're a journalistic entity and they should seek out both sides. And I was like, dude, here's the deal. A of all, kind of ironic that somebody from the New York Post is complaining that someone else is not giving both sides of the story. That's ironic enough as it is. But the other thing is, ESPN is not a journalistic entity, okay? SportsCenter or ESPN News, yes, maybe, I get that, right? ESPN, that's like saying all of ABC, all of Disney, all of GE, who actually owns this whole thing, right, is a journalistic entity just because one show on there happens to be a news show. You know what I mean? ESPN, they did the right thing. They suspended her because there's a lesson to be learned there. You know what I mean? And this guy, hey, nice job. But I did say this also, to kind of wrap it up. She's still hot, Sam. I'm going to be honest with you. Just a lesser version of hot. Listen, I'll be back in a couple minutes. I'm Kevin Barbro. You listen to Coffee Talk 3.0.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Are you tired of gyms and fitness centers that offer only the same boring, mundane options? Are you looking for a new and exciting way to burn fat, gain strength, and improve your flexibility? Then ilovekickboxing.com is the place for you. My name is Kevin Barbro, and I'm the host of the nationally syndicated radio show Coffee Talk 3.0, and I joined I Love Kickboxing 10 months ago, and it was the best decision I've ever made. In that time, I've lost 30 pounds, I've gained strength and flexibility, and the confidence that I need to move forward in my acting career. I'm nearly 45 years old, and I'm in the best shape of my life thanks to ilovekickboxing.com. Go to ilovekickboxing.com and find the location nearest you. Use the promo code COFFEE and receive 20% off the already low introductory price of $19.99. That's three visits and a pair of gloves. It's 1 hour of your day. It'll change your life forever. Believe me, trust me, I do it myself. ilovekickboxing.com. Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on Talk Radio Network stations and flagship TalkingAlternative.com studios. This segment is sponsored by Jillian's Circus. If you are a small or mid-sized company and you're not managing your social media footprint then you're operating in the dark ages, my friend. You need the expert help of a social media marketing expert at Jillian's Circus. Jillian's plural circus. Let them expand your reach and scope of your business. Just go to jillianscircus.com. That's jillianscircus.com, and she'll help you out. New sponsor. So, wrapping that up, like I said, Brittany McHenry, if you're still listening, as we talked here in the studio, I still got a shot, baby. I didn't tear her down too far. Still hot, just a lesser version. Anyway, getting back to finishing up my moving story from 1997, as we're continuing our journey here through Green, Red, Green, my biography and my greatest road trips. This was epic. Okay, I got to give the Reader's Digest version to catch everybody up on last week. So here's what happened, man. 1997, we're getting ready to move. Getting ready to move from Myrtle Beach to New York City. I just took a job at Columbia University, and my buddy, my best friend, Rob Warren, took a job with Edelman Financial Public Relations Worldwide, a top five PR firm in the world, okay? Getting ready to move. Columbia told me they're going to give me $1,000 to move. Well, I only found out like 4 days before we're moving that $1,000 is coming on the back end. For some reason, nobody had ever offered to pay for me to move before. I thought the money was coming on the front end. So we're getting ready to move. We're 4 days out of moving, right? I got $300 total, okay, to move from Myrtle Beach to New York City, okay? And so we're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do, right? So we're 4 days out. My buddy Rob is on this massive road trip out to California. He took his sister's car out to California to go to her wedding and in Northern California. That truck, which had like 180,000 miles on it, literally from Los Angeles heading upwards up the coast, started losing gears. By the time he got there, basically that thing, it was like a salmon. It's like a penguin. It went home to die, right? So that truck dies. He flies to Minneapolis. Now, we've got a kegerator that is in Flagstaff. Long story on that. People are going to have to go back to coffeetalkradio.com and listen about them. Anyway, we got our main goal, we got a kegerator, okay? But it's in Flagstaff. So my buddy Rob, he flies from Northern California to Minneapolis, goes to his uncle's place who has a used car dealership, gives him a Ford F-250 primer gray, right? Thinking that he's only driving to Myrtle Beach, but he wasn't driving to Myrtle Beach. He had due south. He went all the way to Flagstaff so he could pick up this kegerator, put it in the back of this truck, and started heading to Myrtle Beach. At the same time, I got $300 for us to move. So I'm in my life there. Rob is making his way back. The Ford F-250 about Knoxville starts acting up, right? In Asheville, North Carolina, bam, blows a piston right through the engine, dude. That truck had no oil in it, okay? Blows the engine, and it's parked in a CVS pharmacy, like on a hill at the top of this hill in the CVS pharmacy. He calls me up. When he calls me up, I'm actually literally, like, in the middle of this makeout section with this girl that I had, like, dated years before. She shows up in town. I answer the phone. He's like, dude, I'm stuck in Asheville. I'm like, I'm there, right? You know? It's the way it happens. Take this girl to her friends, drop her off. I hit the road, man. Never talk to that girl again. And Lisa something. That shows you how much I ever talked to her again. So I hike it to Asheville. Get to Asheville in the middle of the night. And Rob's just hanging out in the truck, right? So we go to like a Lowe's or I can't remember what it was, but it was open 24 hours. I don't know if it was a Lowe's or what it was. Maybe it was a Walmart. We buy a bunch of chain. Do we buy like 50 feet of chain and a couple of padlocks? We go back to the truck. We wrap this chain around this kegerator, around the chassis, in through the windows. We lock this thing down. Basically, we don't even care if you steal the truck. The truck's worth about $250. But we care if you steal the kegerator. So if you want to steal the kegerator, bro, you got to steal the truck, right? Have the truck. Leave the kegerator. We drive back to Myrtle Beach. Well, we get back to Myrtle Beach, and what happened was, luckily, that day that Rob had called me when he had blew the engine, during the day that day, I worked at the Crab House, which is like this restaurant in Myrtle Beach. Okay, I was a waiter in the summer times, right? So I'm working, you know, and at this time, gambling is legal in Myrtle Beach. They have video gambling machines where you can play blackjack and play roulette, or these different games, right? So I work at Crab House. Make $150 that night. And I'm like, I go over to this Easy Rider Cafe because, I don't know, we drank every night when I was leaving Myrtle Beach. So go over to Easy Riders, blackjack machine. I'm like, you know what? Why not? I mean, $450, $300. I mean, really, we don't have enough money to move, so I might as well take a shot. I slide a $100 bill into this thing, right? I bet the whole thing. I'm like, you know what? This is going to make it or break it right here. This is going to set the tone for me right now. Bam. blackjack. Luckiest dude and most unlucky dude you know, right? Wham! All of a sudden that 100's 250. Bing, 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 bing. Dude, I'm sitting there for like an hour. I pump that up to like $1,200 or so. Cash out, bam, which is usually I'm thinking, well, I'll just go to until I get $10,000, right? Which ultimately ends up at zero. But so I cash out. Suddenly, miracle, 4 days out, I win enough money gambling for us to move to New York City, right? But we got to deal with this truck. So middle of the night, we drive back to Myrtle Beach. We go to the rider place. We pick up the rider truck. Now all of a sudden, we need a car carrier, okay? And on top of that, we reserved the smallest one because, dude, I'm telling you, all of my possessions can fit like in a garbage bag at this point in my life, okay? So all we need was the smallest truck. Well, we get there, and all they've got is the biggest truck because you got to have, you know, one with a tow thing because you got the car tow. Luckily, on top of all this, another buddy of ours, Chad, was moving back to Minneapolis, which is where the truck ultimately needed to go to. So he had his Jeep. We put the Jeep on the back of the car carrier. I asked the dude at the counter at Ryder. I'm like, so, dude, you know, initially we wanted the small one, and they're only charging us for the small one. What kind of gas miles does this thing get? You know, so they're like, well, we guarantee you 5. I'm like, 5 what? They're like, oh, we guarantee you 5 miles a gallon. I'm like, okay, so we're meticulously going to keep track of this. Because I'm like, 5 miles a gallon? How can it only be 5 miles to the gallon, right? I'm telling you, spot on, man. We had to gas up every 100 miles in this thing, right? Because we're burning through gas like it's nothing. They were spot on. Dude, it was like from 491 to 511 every time per gallon, you know what I mean? And as a matter of fact, by the time, ultimately, fast forward, we dropped off the car carrier and the truck up in Minneapolis, we're thinking, hey, this is great. You know, we dropped all the dead wood. You know, we're going to get some better gas mileage. It was almost like the gas mileage was worse. It was almost like it helped us to have all the weight. You know what I mean? So anyway, we pack up what we own in the front and basically in the what's it called? The mother's closet or whatever. That's where all of our stuff fits in this thing, right? And we head to Asheville, North Carolina. We get to Asheville, North Carolina. It's the middle of the night. And we got this Ford F-250. So everything, it's still there. Everything's just chained to the core of the earth, right? And we got to get this Ford F-250 with a blown engine onto the car carrier, okay? So I draw the short straw, okay? So we maneuver that. Luckily, this is in the middle of the night because here's the deal, man. First of all, we unloaded the kegerator and we put it into the back of the truck. Because if this whole thing goes belly up and we've got to burn this truck to the ground and scratch out the serial number, at least we got our kegerator off it, right? So we're at the top of this parking lot, right? And we maneuver this gigantic rider truck down at the bottom. We got the car carrier and we got it angled just right. And we push the Ford F-250 back and we kind of eyeball it a little bit. Now, the engine doesn't work, so I got no power steering or anything, right? So I'm just like a cowboy, man. And it's just down this hill and boom, up onto the car carrier. And it lands just perfectly, you know what I mean? Slam on the brakes, chain it down. That's it, baby. And so we headed off to Minneapolis. So we go from Myrtle Beach to Asheville, pick up the kegerator, pick up this truck to Minneapolis. Now, Columbia University is only paying me to move to New York City. They're not paying me to do this by way of Asheville, North Carolina, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dude, we were so tired by the time that we were making that last journey from Minneapolis to New York. No exaggeration. I remember waking up in the passenger side, you know what I mean? And I look over at my buddy Rob, and he's driving, and he's got his hand kind of like in the form of a cup, you know what I mean? But there was no cup there. He was just semi-catatonic while we're driving. He's like, dude, I'm so tired, man. I don't even know where we are right now. Hand just permanently in the shape as if it was holding a coffee cup. Anyway, we eventually make it to New York City, and life is good, and there was actually even more to the story than that. I may even continue this next week because the adventure of us driving that rider truck down Broadway in Harlem, you couldn't put a bigger bullseye on this thing. A couple of dudes not knowing where they're going. Anyway, listen, Go to coffeetalkradio.com. You'll be able to listen to this episode and past episodes. And we'll be with you, back with you next week. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on Talk Radio Network and TalkingAlternative.com. We'll see you next week.